B-Pod Studios.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. This is our weekly from home episode. We like to do at least one of these a week. Why? Because it's still COVID and we want to let everybody know that we can still do a show even if we are self-isolating. I am
social distancing.
Social distancing for the win. I am your host, Norris. You heard Callie Sloan. Well, scales, whatever. It's all happening.
As of tomorrow.
Yeah, as of tomorrow, we'll be Callie Scales, and we got Chad Callahan. Hello, you guys. How you doing today?
I mean, I'm not as good as Callie is probably right now. Or are you on the opposite end of the spectrum where
Callie's
you're just in panic mode?
Yeah, Callie's a nervous wreck this morning. Listen, last night we had some fun playing Phasmophobia on stream, and that was great. And then I like finished up Phasmophobia and went, oh God, I'm getting married. Oh God, panic. Oh God. So...
Oh, I'm glad we went from one panic to another panic.
Correct.
Just
yeah.
For you.
Yeah, that got me into like the panic mindset, and then I was just like ready to panic about real things.
This is everything that they tell you not to do in therapy, by the way. With that said, guys, it's a gaming show, so here is what's happening in the world of gaming.
All right, so first and foremost, Kojima Productions, long-time lauded studio. Well, I guess short-time lauded studio with long-time lauded director.
Please say it, Callie.
They are hiring for a new game in development.
I thought you said they Sony bought Konami and they gave gear back to Kojima.
Oh, that is like the dream. Yeah, but we're all waiting for that headline, right? Sony buys Metal Gear Solid IP, gives to Kojima Productions. You're like, yes, please. No, Kojima Productions has a new game in development they're hiring for. And I thought maybe just for a moment we'd speculate about what that is. And then I realized what a pointless endeavor that is to try to speculate.
It's impossible.
Like, he's got to be making a horror game, right? He's wanted to make a horror game forever.
If, oh my God, you know what? I would be okay if he tries to step away from the idea of it being Silent Hills and just redevelops the PT IP like to its own thing.
Well, he can't because PT exists in the Silent Hill universe.
No, but he could take that concept.
He could take the concept. Yeah,
he can
take
the concept.
Like he could make the Amnesia that we talked about, that just came out, and just make it bigger, better, like just truly reinvigorate the horror genre space.
I'm gonna say this right now, get rid of that idea.
I'm gonna hold on to it.
Get rid of it, because this is Hideo Kojima, and even every Metal Gear Solid is not the same game,
right? So he only made PT because that hadn't been done before in the horror space. So when he does
that's it.
I do believe he's gonna make a horror game because I know he wants to.
I'm okay with it.
Will be something completely different and weird and new, and there'll probably be like babies in tubes.
I don't think it's
stuff.
A horror. I don't think it'll be a horror game at all. I actually don't, and I don't think it'll be anything like Death Stranding either, which I think is a criminally underrated game. By the way, I think it was a great game. I think Death Stranding was so good in the sense that it took something very mundane and made a game out of it and made that part of it compelling. People were like, oh, it's just a walking simulator. Do you know how many people play Truck Simulator?
That's like or Farm Simulator.
It's the most mundane, menial stuff, but they were able to take the concept of, I don't know, delivering packages to people while humanity was bunkered in place to shelter themselves from an invisible, unknown, and airborne threat. Sound familiar?
Yeah, right. Mm. I'm telling you, because you're a time traveler.
Timing? Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, the thing with me with Kojima is I have stopped speculating because it's almost better to be surprised when it comes to him.
Well, and at the end of the day, it's a pointless endeavor. You're not going to be right. So what's the matter?
Yeah. We're not going to see this for another 5-6 years because they go in development for so long. How long have we were teased with Death Stranding, like just imagery before it actually came out?
Six
it was like a couple
years,
of
years, I think.
Yeah.
Something like
total.
That.
something like that. But the thing about it is, you know, I'm not necessarily sure if the development of games will speed up if we're talking about in this next generation, because not only will you have more processing power and more graphical power, there are a lot of places that are trying to talk about stuff like cloud-based development and whatnot. So that may actually speed up the process of developing games. So we don't know. You got Square Enix, which is notorious for long development cycles. They said they're like, what, already very deep into the development of Final Fantasy, was it 16?
Yeah.
So if Square Enix can come to me and say, we've already done a ton of work and it was going to come out earlier than you think, I think Kojima Productions might be able to put something out within a reasonable time. I think four years is a good window. Let's see. But I don't even want to speculate on what kind of game it is. For all we know, it'll be an on-the-rail shooter. Who knows?
Man.
Please, no.
It's, yeah, we find out Kojima somehow got the rights, and he's doing House of the Dead 7. It's just like,
you know what?
Don't front like that's a bad idea.
He could probably put the chutzpah in it that it would need to be successful, to be honest.
Look at Chad dropping
tower,
the
clock tower. Clock tower in VR?
Oh, come yes, on, please. I'm all for
do
that.
Do you think? I think Kojima, if there was one person to do VR, it would be Kojima and do it well and like just continue that.
Actually, Chad, you're right. I think he's the one person that needs to really look at VR, honestly, and say, I can do it.
The only game VR did well was Half-Life Alyx, and I'm gonna stand true to that.
Resident Evil 7, that VR was good.
It was all right, but it wasn't made for it. Like Half-Life Alyx is only in VR, optimized for VR. I think that's the kind of path VR needs. But I'm gonna end there. That's a whole different conversation.
All right, so we needed to get an esports update on here, and you know, sometimes we'll talk League of Legends, sometimes we talk Overwatch League, but you know what? I figured this time it's time for us to hit the big boys. Okay. That's right. Oh, yeah. It's time to talk professional fight crab.
Hell yeah.
So there's a tournament happening in Japan.
Crab battle.
This weekend, there is a fight crab tournament happening wherein the prize is a real crab. So
A rare crab?
No, it's a king crab. Or I think it's actually a red soft shell crab, actually, I think I saw.
Hold on.
Or is this for like pet?
No, there's like a big crab festival that happens every year in Japan. And so they're and this year they're having a fight crab tournament taking place during it where you can win a crab. And if you can eat it, you can hug it, you can give it a kiss if you want. It's up to you, really.
I don't know. I feel like at the end, if you're not actually, you win the crab in your fight crab tournament, you then have to fight the actual crab in real life. And that is the end all be all. So that's how you win the fight crab.
Yeah, right, you win the tournament.
PETA is not going to stand for that. PETA is not
Japan.
Do you think PETA doesn't have a reach into Japan? You fooling. You think they ain't going to listen? Stop. You're not going to be able to fight a real crab with your fists.
They eat so many animals alive that I think it's still like, I think it would be possible there more than anyways.
Chad, I don't know if it'll happen, but I'll tell you what, I'm all about this idea where you win the tournament, you pick your crab out of a tank, they put a knife in the crab's hand, and you just go.
You
fight the crab.
Yeah, I'm in.
If the crab wins, well, the crab gets to go free.
I you know what? I've been a fan of fight crab. Listen, as a FGC person, anything with the word fight in it, I am contractually obligated to at least check it out.
Right.
And
well, it's a tangential love
fight,
of it, right?
That's right. Watching fight crab is one of the funniest experiences in the world. If you want to have a good laugh, just watch a random person play fight crab.
Yeah.
Because even the maps are stupid. There's a map where your crab can get run over by a toy train. It's the best. Just go watch a bunch of fight crab streams.
All right. So, Chad, for this last bit, I got to send it on over to you. I understand we've got some new news on the Uncharted movie front.
Hell yeah. We get a first look at Tom Holland as Drake from Uncharted. And to be honest,
Tom
I'm
Holland's
excited.
Like 12 years old. What?
You know what? I see what they're doing. In the fourth Uncharted, they really, and maybe actually a little bit before that, they really focus a little bit on young Drake in his history, how he got to where he is and how he met Sully and all these kind of interesting things. And I think they're not going quite that young because he was like a child, like maybe like 12. But I think they're kind of trying to do like the teenage, more how he's he got to this level, you know, living as a thief as a kid, not, no parents and stuff like that. That kind of mentality. I think that's a good idea because they've mentioned it in the games, but this is a whole uncharted area for them to go. There's so much story there, and like there's a lot of gaps in there that they could really train on. Because all the games kind of have these little gaps in time that they could truly just like bring into canon. And I love that idea that they can fill in the gaps.
His origin story wasn't explored until that last game, really.
Right.
And you just kind of played as him as just this adventurer guy.
Yeah. Even like a little kid. Yeah. And yeah, it wasn't even an adventure. He was like a thief.
Yeah, which is cool. You know, I mean, I am only partially a fan of the Uncharted series. I think 2 is a great game. I think the rest of them are gassed, to be honest with you.
I think there's a different level. I think they came at a time right around when they were looking at Tomb Raider again. And it was right before the newest Tomb Raider vision came out. And I honestly think they helped that game come to life. I think they gave it that they're like, oh, tomb games are something that people want. This is, it's not something that, you know, we can just throw away. Lara Croft can come back and she'll make a big splash. And she did. I don't know. But one thing about this is that I think this is our generation, and maybe not our generation, but the Gen Z's generation of Indiana Jones. Like, it really is in many ways. Like, it's kind of...
Well, but here's the question I ask, right? Because part of what made Indiana Jones and movies like that popular is that sort of, like, exotic nature to him. Like, he could go into these crazy locations, you know, in Tibet and Africa and all these other places. And you know, he's this... you know, adventurer, and it was this sense of otherness. Like, in the age of the internet, like, can you still invoke that level of wonder? Will kids be into it?
I think you can. I mean, the games themselves are, you know, I think it's a lot of relying on, you know, the fact that you're in over your head in these situations. It's not like you're in a big major city. These are like, you know, small cities in the middle of like the desert or in the middle of a jungle, and you're meeting people who don't speak your language, and you have to kind of communicate with them. And I think no matter what, even in an age of technology and stuff like that, you're going to have these kind of challenges that are still going to be interesting regardless. Like, they'll timeless things that we're going to have throughout history. So I think that's what this is going to give us. And like, the idea of going back in time and looking at things from history and like pirates and whatever other stuff that you look at for like ruins, that's always going to be exciting. Like, anytime there's a new tomb opening, you know, we're all like, oh, we're all going to get cursed. But like, kind of low key, I want to know what's in there.
Yeah.
No, listen, not me. No, what are you talking about?
It's 2020, Chad.
I want other people to look. They can die, but I got pictures.
Chad, if they open up the curse hits us all.
No. King Tut one only affected the people that went in the tomb. Were fine.
That's Did you see you the think. Mummy?
That's fair. Okay.
It definitely screwed things up for a lot of people.
And besides, I'm gonna just be honest here. I think the Tomb Raider games are better than the Uncharted games, and I'm upset that the Uncharted movie is going to be way better than the Tomb Raider movie. Yeah, that came
you know what? I'm not upset about it.
I'm salty about that.
Can I just say, I'm eating my words here because I think Tom Holland and I think, you know, nerdy, geeky, stammering over his words whenever Iron Man's around Peter Parker. Damn, Tom Holland. Like,
I know.
I look at this picture, I'm like, he's going to be like the action hero of like the next generation.
He is. And the thing
is, when he's 30, he's going to be a big time action star.
Oh, are you kidding? He's already there.
You think he's the new Tom Cruise?
Yeah. Like, he's going to be like Tom Cruise. Like, what Tom Cruise was to us in like the 90s, he's going to be for the 2010s.
You know what? If they made the fourth Indiana Jones and they casted him as Shia LaBeouf's character, I think it would have been a much better movie. Because about the movie, but I think it would have been a better movie just because he was in it.
That wasn't going to save that script.
No, script was awful.
It would have saved that character. I think that was a weak character. I'll just say at the end of this, I think this was going to hold for quite a while. They have so much to work with the characterization of him being like this quirky, kind of funny character, who which we get to watch grow up now because he is still a younger actor. I'm in. I love it.
See, I'm gonna be honest. I disagree. I don't think he needs to be quirky and weird and funny. I think that would typecast Tom Holland. I think that would be to the movie's detriment. I think what you do is you make him suave. You make this a kid who is incredibly confident and knows exactly what he's doing. That's how you make this kid. I think that is I think it's way better to do it that way. And if you do, just make him Peter Parker with a gun and you know, some cargo pants, then it's dumb. I might as well just wait for the next Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, I guess quirky's not the right word. I think this is a coming of age thing. I feel like he's got to meet Solly and learn how to be a professional, where he's right now being this, like, he's just a little thief and he's doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
So that's the thing. He doesn't need to be stammering and awkward, but he should be unpolished.
Yeah, I guess that's the word. Unpolished. That's a good word.
That's fair. But anyway, we want to hear from you guys. What is your opinion on the first set pictures from the Uncharted movie? Are you excited about it? It's whatever. I mean, it's weird movie. Well, we can tell, Chad. Damn. for me, you know, it's one of those weird things where I think movie going has changed. I think it's a bit odd. It's hard to get excited about the box office smash. So we'll see. Once the trailer comes out, maybe that'll get me excited about it. But stick around, because we are going to talk about Quibi and how it raised so much money to do absolutely nothing with it. Quibi shutting down, y'all. We got the story coming up on Checkpoint Daily.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey everybody, this is Norris Howard, host of Checkpoint HP on campus. And if you're wondering, esports in college, that's a thing? Yes, it is. So if you're curious about, can your kid or maybe you get an esports scholarship to a university? Yes, it's possible. Find out how on Checkpoint XP on campus. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube. Hey everybody, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily, the hottest show when it comes to video games and esports that you are getting 7 days a week, all the time. But we want to discuss one of the biggest apps, or at least startups, in the sort of entertainment industry over the past few years, and that's Quibi. If you haven't heard, Quibi raised almost $2 billion, billion with a B.
Jesus.
And news just came out that Quibi is shutting down after just 6 months of operation. So, guys, how does this happen? So how does this happen?
I mean, I'll tell you how it happened. It's shutting itself down, right? Like, this isn't like,
this isn't their decision.
I'll tell you how this happens. Ponzi scheme. Like, at what point is this not just like, we took all your money and now we're running for it? Like, This is insane.
There's two avenues of thought here. Like, and I could see where someone was like, okay, people right now are looking for, there's two things, whether it's live content, which is like Twitch and things like that, or they're looking for short form content that they find on YouTube, or just like funny things, funny clips, mm-hmm. or things that you see on Facebook. And I think that they were like, okay, we can own this short form content, produced short form content. However, in the age of Netflix, where how we're used to seeing produced and things, it doesn't work. And YouTube still kind of owns it, even though there's still like this, it's open world in a sense, like it's whatever, but they still own that short form 5 minute, 7 minute thing on mobile. So why would, it just makes really difficult to see where they're going.
It's very simple. And I'm going to just put it this way. People don't like watching shit on their phones. They watch stuff on their phones because they have to.
Right.
Right. Yep. You're stuck in a bus, or you're on the subway, or whatever you're doing. You're on a road trip and you're watching something on the phone because you have to. If you had a tablet, you watch on your tablet. If you're next to a TV or a laptop or anything else, that's where you'd watch it. And the problem with Quibi is that they made such a large investment into this sort of high quality, super produced, you know, highfalutin content that was supposed to still be short form content. And I'm going to be perfectly honest. Think about what you're watching when you watch that stuff on your phone. When you watch a YouTube video, you're probably not watching a 15-minute video on your phone. You're probably watching something that is literally 2 to 3 minutes long. You're not watching the whole video. If you are, you're running it in the background while it goes into your headphones. It's passive engagement. It's so passive the way a lot of us consume media through our phones. And to me, to make a multi-billion dollar investment into content that people are supposed to watch on their phones that is not organic or user generated was a mistake.
Can I just say this is my lowest common denominator opinion on why this service failed? It's because of the name.
Okay.
Sorry. That Quibi? Name sucks. Quibi? Who, like, listen, I'm willing to go tell someone I'm watching something on Twitch or YouTube. Heck, I'll even say Facebook, but I don't ever want to be caught in a spot where I have to be like, oh, yeah, no, I'm watching it on Quibi.
I'm on Quibi. Yeah.
That's the worst name ever.
Like Netflix, you hear Netflix, and it kind of tells you what it is, right? Because mm-hmm. Netflix is kind of like the newest of the big media companies, right? So YouTube and Facebook and the rest of them, they sort of made their name at the dawn of the internet, so they've been around as long as the internet has been around for many people.
Yeah.
But you have a name like Netflix. Okay, what is it? Netflix.
Yeah.
I get it. I know what it is.
Makes
I
sense.
Watch movies on it, right? I can Quibi. What does that mean?
You know
it
Quibi
doesn't mean anything to me.
This is what it sounds like to me when I hear the name Quibi. I picture like Alibaba or Wish or one of those kinds of things.
Cheap knockoff. A Chinese discount retailer.
Yes, that's what Quibi sounds like.
What's like those it's not even discount retailer, it's one of those things where you like sell off things you already have. I can't remember the name of that
like
one.
Like an eBay,
but it's like a mobile one. They have a bunch of them now. But here's
Poshmark.
The M. Oh, Poshmark, yeah.
Yeah, Poshmark, that's one, yep.
That's one, but one of the comparisons I'll bring up is actually I'll bring back YouTube. It is YouTube Red. And they were all about YouTube Red. Everyone needs to pay for it. It's like you get more content. Guess what? It still didn't do that great. I mean, it still exists, but that's because YouTube's still like this colossal monster and they can just have something that's just doing okay in their back pocket. Where Quibi came out of nowhere and was like, yeah, you have to pay for this service, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it's high production stuff, but no one wants that.
But with YouTube Red, first of all, the content that I'm going to YouTube for is not what YouTube Red was offering. I'm not going there to watch produced content. I'm going there to watch user generated stuff, right?
Exactly.
That's what I'm there to do. If I want to see Warner Brothers make something and put it out, I'll get Hulu. As a matter of fact, I already have Hulu, right? I already have Netflix, I already have Disney Plus, I already have all these other services that serve that purpose, by the way, which already have mobile optimized apps that give me all the stuff I want to watch. I don't need a new app and another subscription. We talked about on the show earlier this week about subscription fatigue. Stop. At this point, stop. Right? Yeah. Offer people something at this point for free and let them opt in. Because if you're coming out the gate with a subscription service, nobody's going to do it. Period.
Yeah, how do you get that taste outside of that free 30-day trial? And the problem that we see with that free 30-day trial, it's a great idea. Yes, we see it everywhere. However, we see it everywhere. It's you could tell me it's a 30-day trial. That to me sounds like I'm going to forget about that. I have to pay for it for next month or maybe a year, depending on however your subscription works. And then I'm stuck with it and then I'll never use it. And I wasted money. And now I'm mad at your company,
even though it was technically my fault. There's credit cards coming out that literally are building within the software of that platform when you put it on your credit card, it'll give you an alert that says, like, your free trial is about to run out. Do you want to cancel this? Like, come on. Like, people already know how irritating this stuff is.
Yeah.
Even credit card companies know how irritating this is. And on top of that, you already put in, you got to put COVID on top of this whole thing. Let's just be honest, right? You put COVID on top of this. People are at home. They're not walking around with their phones. They're not using public transportation. They're not traveling. So everybody's just at the crib using their PlayStations and their smart TVs and their PCs to watch the content that they want to watch. It is what it is, man. It was a perfect storm of this is not not going to work. Every person that I saw that saw a Quibi ad went, that's not going to work. Even people who aren't in media, like, that's bad. Yeah. That's bad. When people who are not well versed in this stuff can see an ad that you put on and go, I don't want to use that.
Yeah, can it's we talk about the true loss in this? I believe Quibi were the ones who were doing the Legends of the Hidden Temple reboot, weren't they?
Were they?
I think that was them.
Well, you know, there's another show.
Like, Netflix will buy it.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I'm curious to see if any of these shows will actually get picked up, because I was actually really intrigued because, what's his name? I'm blanking. But John Travolta, he had a movie or a show in here that I was actually like, I kind of want to watch. I think it was John Travolta and Kevin Hart, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, wasn't
they had a show together.
Wasn't and Quibi I wanted also to watch who did it, the Reno 911 season?
Yes.
Wasn't that them too?
See, that's the thing. There's so many things that could have done well. I think if they were just a normal streaming service, they might have picked up. I think the problem is they're trying to force this mobile only thing down my throat, and I'm not there yet. I'm just not. I will if I had an opportunity to choose between I'll watch it on my TV and I'll watch it on my phone, I'm always going to pick my TV over my phone.
But Chad, that you named me one show that you will watch on this platform, right? Name me how many streamers, vloggers, other YouTube channels that you watch on a weekly basis.
I agree. Think I understand what you're saying. There's a difference.
There's a difference. I'm not going to dedicate my time right now to another super produced show when I already got to finish watching Avatar. I already got to finish watching all this other stuff. I don't want to invest in something new right now. And I think that was Quibi's problem. You know what would have been smart for them? If they'd have said, hey, you know that show you really love that's not out anywhere right now? Guess what? We got it on Quibi. It's the only place you can watch it. That would have been much more powerful than trying to produce a bunch of new crap.
I agree. I think that if they would have done the Disney Plus thing where it's like, yeah, we don't really have anything on here. I mean, sure, we have our back catalog, but I don't know how many people are actually going for that after the first month. But then it's like, but Mandalorian, WandaVision, all these, it's not like they have a ton of stuff. They're not Netflix where it's like they're pumping out originals like they're like rabbits or anything like that. They are just putting out consistent things in setting like weekly appointments. And that was such a smart idea for Disney, because they knew we were going to come back for Mandalorian. They knew we were going to come back for anything Marvel.
But that's what Netflix did. Netflix said, we have all of your favorite movies that you wish you could have watched 2 years ago. Yeah. And here they are. Oh, and by the way, here's Orange is the New Black, this really cool show. Or here's House of Cards, this really cool show that we produced in-house, right? That was how they hooked people, because everybody has their favorite movies they want to watch or a movie they never got around to seeing. It was the same thing, you know, the blockbuster effect, you know, oh, I didn't get a chance to see this in theaters, so let me check it out on Netflix. And then you had these original shows that ended up being really amazing because they were innovative. They had creators that weren't necessarily with HBO or Showtime or any of the other big networks. They had actors that weren't necessarily with these big networks, so you didn't see the same actors over and over again. They could be really creative with the stories that they were telling and offer a lot of opportunity for people who were telling these unique stories. And what Quibi didn't do was try to do that. What they tried to do was say, hey, we know you love that one actor. They got a movie on Quibi. They got a show on Quibi. And I'm sorry, the era of people going to see a film just because one actor is in it, that's not, people don't do that anymore. That used to pop off where it's like, oh, Will Smith is in it, so it's gonna be tight for the summertime.
Yeah.
That don't exist no more.
I'm trying to think if I still have an actor like that where it's like, I will, like, You know what? I have one actor, I think, left where it's like, I'll go see the movie if they're in it. Because if they're in it, I already know what the movie is, and it's Jason Statham. Like, if Statham's in it, I already know what the movie is.
Yeah.
Yeah, flat out.
I agree. I think they made some mistakes. If they were to take – here's a question then. If there was one show that Quibi could have bought out from, like, anything, like maybe it was Harley Quinn series from HBO. Was it HBO Max that's on now? Or no, it's on DC Universe. Anyways, regardless, the Harley Quinn series, they brought it over to Quibi or whatever. Is that enough for you to say, you know what? I might check it out and then actually continue because I have to finish this. I have to watch it weekly and blah, 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 because more than 30 days.
I mean, it's a hard question because there's a lot of shows that have come back for me and I watch them and they're okay. They're not what they were when they first came out. So that's a tough question. I'm trying to think in the abstract what show from back in the day I would like to come back. But I don't know. I mean, I think there's a bunch of ways. You could have did an old show. You could have did a sequel to a movie. You know what they could have did? They could have did something like Cobra Kai, which is one of the best ideas in like modern TV.
Can I just say that I was expecting nothing out of Cobra Kai and that show is great?
Yeah. That's what they should have did. They should have did something like oh my God, dude. If they could have did like a Back to the Future like type of thing where it was like not necessarily with Michael J. Fox, but like, hey, Michael J. Fox had a kid. You know, Marty McFly had a kid, and they're in the actual future. And like, you, dude, there was so much creative stuff you could have did with that. But that's what I'm saying is that they could have either took an old show or an old movie and did like a real time skip
update,
which is what Cobra Kai is, and did that. I think people are very interested in that kind of stuff because it hits the nostalgia button, but at the same time you it's okay for things to age with you. And I think that's something that's a very millennial way of thinking of like things are supposed to age with us and, you know, not necessarily exist in these vacuums. Like boomers wanted fucking Happy Days. They wanted to stay there forever. Yeah. But
all those 30-year-olds were 15 years old.
Yeah, but like we want our stuff to grow up with us. And I think if Quibi would have did that, they'd have been, you know, they'd have put out some better content. But I think everything you guys have said were salient points. I think also on top of that, and let's just be honest, it's too much money in the world, dude.
Yeah,
like, how much was around?
$1.75 billion.
Holy crap. It's okay. This is a case of, and we're seeing it, and I'm not going to name the other group that we see this with, but we're seeing this more and more where they're just throwing monies into these ideas, and then we're watching them fall apart. I don't know. I think they need to start really reining in on what they set their money on in media right now, and kind of more, instead of like these new endeavors, it should be reinvigorating older endeavors that might be not necessarily failing, but doing better.
It's just hard. It's hard to do now because so many other companies have created such great proofs of concept that it's hard to replicate that kind of stuff. Well, it's impossible to replicate Netflix. You can't
replicate it. What I'm saying is like, so for example, take like something like Hulu, not to say that they're failing by any means, but like, It's a stepchild to Netflix, like in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't go to Hulu nearly as much as I go to Netflix. It has its place though. So imagine taking that money and being like, you know what? Hulu's already got a decent track record. They're not Netflix, but they got a decent track record. I want to do something clever with them, have the Hulu name. You know what I mean? It just feels like that would have been a better step than Quibi just being like, hey, we're our own thing.
No,
we're
gonna Do you know what this was? This was a room of old-ass white dudes who said, hey, you know that quirky girl from that one movie with George Clooney? You know, the quirky white girl. Anna Kendrick? Yeah, give her a show. She'll do it.
Pretty much.
And it was that for 5 damn shows. And you could tell.
Yep.
You could tell. So, I mean, to me, it's just a bunch of people who know one space trying to exist in another one. And it doesn't exist, man. Mobile content, it's got to be user generated at this point, man. People don't want to watch big studios make stuff for mobile. It doesn't work. Nope. It's not authentic. People don't like it. It's like when people do vertical videos for like press releases and stuff. Yes. I'm like, why did you do this? It's stupid. The why worst. Did you do this? It's awful. So with that said, I mean, obviously I'm sad to see any company go under because that means people lost their jobs and money evaporated. So that sucks. But I mean, for something like Quibi, dude, it was the writing was on the wall from day one, man. If I was them, I would have held off till next year. There's no way I would have released this in the middle of COVID, period, flat out. So it was a massive miscalculation on many parts, and can't say I'm surprised. So, but with that said, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. We hope you guys join us tomorrow for another episode. At that point, Callie Sloan will be Callie Scales. So make sure you guys say congratulations to her. And on top of that, get ready for the weekend because we will have some clips from the national radio show, as with every weekend, going out for that. For Chad Callahan and Callie Sloan, I am your host, Norris Howard, and we want to see you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Bye.
Ooh. All right, good show.
And
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.